Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's official. Let's get ready for it. Canada, USA for the final of the Four Nations face-off. John Shannon, Darren Millard, and 100% Hockey. I was thinking about this. We had 1996 in Montreal, the Americans won. 2010, the Olympics, and Canada won in Vancouver. This is a best-on-best final between the two nations. First time that the Americans will have home ice advantage.
No, I didn't. 1991 wasn't the two game series best two out of three? Wasn't they played game two in, I want to say, Hartford?
Right. I was thinking final, like,
oh, single one, game. One okay, games. All yeah. right. Okay. Well, you know,
you're right. You're right. Okay. You're right.
But that was, you know, and 96 was crazy because the first game of the final was in Philadelphia. And Canada eked out an overtime victory, and there are some Americans still claiming that Theo Fleury punched the puck into the net with his glove. So
he probably did.
He probably did, but it was before video review was that technical. They
a lot of things happened before
video review. They couldn't rewind the VHS quick enough because it was all VHS machines then. So now you have to Google VHS machines.
Do you think this matchup will be influenced at all by the Americans playing the game in Boston?
No, no. I mean, you know, there is some irony, or maybe not irony, coincidence that Mike Sullivan's a Boston guy. Charlie McAvoy, his son-in-law, is a Boston guy.
Yeah,
playing for the Bruins. He's a Long Islander, but he plays for the Bruins. So is but Brad Marchand plays for Canada. I think it's good. I think they probably, if they had any tickets left, they probably sold them all now, because it's a great matchup. TV numbers on Saturday night in both countries were boffo. They were really good. And with the extra day, Tuesday, Wednesday, the buildup is going to be crazy, Darren. It's going to be crazy.
Did you say boffo?
Yeah. B-O-F-F-O. Boffo.
No, I'm aware of the spelling. At least I assumed it was boffo, but I've just never. You were never the guy I heard saying that word.
Why not? Sup?
I didn't see you with that kind of riz, but I'm impressed with it. I am. Canada, great start. 3-0 in the first period.
They've had three great starts, Darren. They've had three great starts.
We've got Rick Bowness coming up, and I'll be curious about his digestion of the finish, the way that the game got closer in the final couple of minutes. But part of me says, well, that's just desperation playing out and it getting closer. Do you factor Canada letting the game get closer into play?
Well, let me ask you this. Were you nervous at 4-3?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that answers the question, really. Hockey, it's quite complicated because it's hockey's the art of intimidation, and hockey's managing your emotions, and then you have to play the game as well, because the moment you stop and think, you're late in hockey, and that's what happens. When the emotions can take over and you're just working purely on adrenaline. I mean, at 4-0, it was a really good, you know, defensive game by Canada. They played the first 16 minutes well in the third period defending, But all that the Finns needed was a spark. They needed a spark. Maybe the Lindell goal gave them a bit of a spark, but really it was that 4-2 goal that gave them the spark. And then Granlund at 4-3, I mean, you know, you could only think that, oh my goodness gracious, is this going to happen? And
part of me is that carryover, like, does it?
Oh no, I don't think it carries over.
Confidence at all.
Oh, not with that.
We had that game intact, and all of a sudden it was so closer than it ever should have been. And because the confidence of a perfect game, Binnington, the team, everything would have been extraordinary.
Yeah, but I, you know, in listening to Crosby, MacKinnon, and McDavid after the game, they all said the same thing. We got the win. You know, yeah. We needed the win. And now they have 72 hours to regroup against the United States, which I think will be a spectacular game. Put it in perspective, and there's a ton of recency bias. Will it be the greatest game ever played? Probably not. Will it be emotional? Yes. But I don't think it compares to September of 72. No. I don't think it compares to February of 2010 just yet. But you know what? I think it's going to challenge a lot of people to think this is as crazy a night as we've seen in a long, long time.
Saturday night, for all its fireworks, wasn't a great hockey game from the second period on, like, and entertainment wise. It was physical in the first period, and then everybody kind of.
Yeah, the Americans did such a really good job of, and I mean, we should wait for the coach to do this with us, but
good point.
The Americans did a really good job of clogging up the middle. I mean, Canada had put no traffic in front of Hellebuck, and Canada couldn't move the puck the way they wanted to. I, you know, it'll be interesting to hear what Rick says, not only about the game against the Finns, but previewing Thursday night.
100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon with Rick Bonus coming up. Where's Bonus from, just so I can introduce him properly?
Let me check. I'll Google it, and it'll probably say Nova Scotia.
Okay. It's all coming up as we continue.
Is it everybody from Nova Scotia these days?
Or Manitoba.
I know.
We're lucky in that regard.
What is going on? It's just driving me nuts. We need some BC people. You know what? We're going to get a BC guy on.
Bones has got both covered, so I'm really happy about this as we continue. This was not planned, but it is fitting that we got a Nova Scotia guy coming on with us.
How do you know it wasn't planned?
Well, it did come together quite organically. Were you thinking Nova Scotia and what was going to happen today, and then Rick gone?
Every time I think of Sid, I think of Rick, because we usually meet at the Danny Gallivan golf tournament.
You do. Rick, right, John, Rick? Doesn't remember a lot of those.
Yes, we do. Yes, yeah, we do. When Sid's there. He gets, his summers get busy.
When you look back on the win that puts Canada into the gold medal game or the championship game of the Four Nations face-off, what's your initial takeaway, Rick, when you watch that game?
Well, Finland had one chance and one chance only to win today. And they had to play this game with a 1-0, 2-1 mentality. And they had to. Their puck management all over the ice clearly got them in a lot of trouble. And it leads to the first goal against you. I mean, you're throwing a puck to the best player in the world right on his stick. But that's an example of it. But there's a lot of examples where they just turn the puck over the neutral zone. They made bad passes coming out of their zone. And what happens then is that it's just a scramble defensively. So when I say they had to win with a 2-1 mentality, they had to manage the puck much better than they did, and not just in their zone, all over the ice. And they had to play good, solid defense, team defense, which they were very good at. But when you turn the puck over as often as they did and the places they did, you're scrambling defensively, and Canada took advantage of it. So Canada did the right thing, get the puck and get it going north and try to take advantage of that defense that's a little bit depleted back there, and they're missing some key guys that move the puck a lot better than the guys that they had to play, and Canada took advantage of it. Canada should have won that game, but when you look at Finland, And you, from their eyes, that's their only chance they had, and they just didn't do it. So good on Canada. They took advantage of a lot of mistakes that the Finns made that you normally don't see.
So Canada wins in regulation. Another really good start to the game because they had a great start against the Swedes, a good scoring start against the Americans on Saturday, and another start on Monday afternoon. But that speed and that style is hard to sustain, Rick. How do you sustain that?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's go back to Binnington. Finland had the first good scoring opportunity. He made a good save off his shoulder, off of a scramble, off of a face-off. So give him credit for making that big save. But again, when you're playing that the skill level that the Canadians have and the speed that they have, you can't beat yourself. Finland beat themselves the way they played with the turnovers and the scrambles. They didn't do a very good job keeping the puck away from Binnington on their forecheck. You can't forecheck if you keep giving the puck to one of the best puck handling goalies in the league. And that's one of the main reasons he was in there today, because of his ability to set the puck up and get the puck moving. You spend less time in your zone. So they didn't do a very good job of that. And if you're going to play the way they played, you're opening it up for let that speed and skill that Canada has. It's just going to take over the game, which they did.
There were some adjustments in the lines. What did you make of the tweaks that Canada made?
I don't really like them. I like to see Sid and Nate together. And for whatever reason, listen, Mark Stone's a great player. And I love the guy. Reinhart was a better fit with those two guys, and he was. And Stone was a good fit for McDavid. So the lines look good. The Marchand line was really good, but they were hard to play against. They were putting pressure on them. You know what you're going to get from Cirelli and Hagel, and Marner was a good fit for there. So I like the way that, I really like the way the lines look today. And most likely that's what we're going to see Thursday night. But Reinhart was a good fit for Nate and for Sid. And he's not a Maritimer, but he did fit in with them. He's a Westerner, but we'll let him be a Maritimer for the day today and let him play with the two Maritime stars.
It was probably important to have somebody with Braden Point's speed with Connor McDavid as well, correct?
Well, you have to play fast. And that's right. And so when you're playing in these games, whoever is on the ice, McDavid, he needs support. He needs someone around him to play give and go with or supporting the puck. And you have to have speed to keep up with him. You've got to get up the ice with him and give him some options. And certainly Pointer can do that. He's a great skater. He's a great player in his own right. And so that's a real good fit there. So, you want to play with McDavid, you better have a lot of speed. And you better have a lot of hockey sense and a lot of skill. And Pointer certainly has all those attributes for sure. So he was a good fit with McDavid.
And as you said, on the other side, somebody like Mark Stone to actually maybe not do what he normally does in Vegas, but actually somebody to go get the puck, right?
Well, exactly, and win some battles, right? And he's got a great stick, and he forces a lot of turnovers, and that now you go back to the support on the puck. So he's going to get in there. He's going to cause some turnovers. Well, he needs some support on the puck, and Point and McDavid were right there to help him out as well. So that line looked good. I don't know how much for the left wing he's played in his career. He's played there a little bit today, so we'll see where it goes. But the lines all look very good. The lines did, when you're putting your lines together, and give John and the staff are a lot of credit for this. I'm sure they had some conversations with some of these players. What do you think of this? You're playing with when you're coaching these elite players, you got to have a little feedback from them. And then you have to make the final call. But give them credit. They analyzed what they had. They analyzed who was going, who wasn't going with certain lineups that they had, and they made some adjustments, and there were good adjustments, and we hope that they're going to see the same thing on Thursday night.
For almost 40 minutes, this was a lockdown game, the result in hand. How do you digest what happened in the final few minutes with Finland making a push?
Well, yeah, a little desperation there, and they got one. They got one off the boards, off the forecheck, and which they hadn't done. They hadn't done that the whole game. All of a sudden, the puck pops to Essel Lindell, and it's in the back. That's a tough shot. It's right off the post and in, and all of a sudden, you've got life. And so, yeah, you just take your game to You would hope they would have played like that from the Finnish side of things, right, the whole game, but they didn't. But they needed a spark. They got that goal. That gave them a spark, and then all of a sudden they get another one. Well, now you're right back in the game. So you're on your heels a little bit for Canada. There's no question. And that's just human nature. And you bend a little bit. It's unfortunate they got that third goal. And then all of a sudden they turn the puck over in the neutral zone, and Sid Pop jumps on it and puts in the back of the net. Now, you can go back and argue that icing. Was that an icing or was that not an icing, right? So, the Finns are upset because it wasn't called. If they called the icing, which they could have called it, then Canada's upset. So, but they just, listen, they got a break. They got a second quick goal, and all of a sudden they're back in the game, and they made some good plays. And that third goal is a great shot, right under the crossbar, over the shoulder. That's a heck of a play from behind the net and a great shot. So give the Finns some credit for that. But again, give Canada credit as well, because they bent a little bit. Fortunately, they didn't break right till the end.
We joke a little bit about the maritime thing, but you have known of Sidney Crosby since he was 10 years old?
Well, every time I went home in the summer, that's all I ever heard about was Sid. And then all of a sudden it was Nate, right? So Sid got established, and okay, Sid, you're great. You're a great player. You've lived up to everything I heard as a kid growing up. And then all of a sudden, everyone, I go home in the summer, and everyone's talking about Nate. And now Nate's lived up to those expectations.
So the reason I set it up that way is what is it in Crosby that makes him the player and the person he is?
It's just a little sidebar on that. So my daughter works for Salt Lake, the Utah Hockey Club. So we were there a couple of weeks ago visiting her, and Pittsburgh was in town. So I went to the game. It was the second game I've been to all year. I wanted to see Sully and I wanted to see Sid. Well, Sid came out and we were talking, and all Sid wanted to talk about was home. Yeah, what was going on back in Nova Scotia? What was going on at Grand Lake? That's all he wanted to talk about. So he's well grounded, and the elite player that he is, he's never forgotten where he's from. He's very proud to be from Nova Scotia, very proud to be from Cole Harbour. He's a very grounded person, and that makes him a special person. But it also leads to him being, he knows he's an elite player. Right. He is. And he knows it. Clearly he's, one of the best ever. But he's never forgot where he's from. And he's always stayed grounded. And Sid's a lot, and I've always said this, Sid's a lot like Gretz. Gretz never put his foot in the mouth. He never said the wrong thing at the wrong time. Sid's a lot like that. He's well-spoken. He thinks about his answers before he gives any quick answers and says the wrong thing. But his playing speaks for itself. It's clearly, Hall of Fame career, but I really like the fact that he's never forgotten where he's from. And you know that, John, you go home and talk to him. He's very proud to be from Cole Harbour. He's very proud to be a Nova Scotian.
He's a fascinating guy. Cause the last time I saw him was in Pittsburgh in the first week in December. I went to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame induction banquet, and it always comes over and says hello. You know, he doesn't force himself, but if he sees you in his line of sight, he comes over and says hello. He's an amazing, because he could easily ignore everybody and just be in his own bubble, but he doesn't. He's one of those quality people 100% of the time. The other thing is that I don't think we understand, he's not the biggest guy, Rick. He's not the biggest guy. He might be one of the widest guys, but he's not the biggest guy, and he still is so physical.
Yeah, well, his big legs. He's so powerful on his skates, and he is. He's great on his edges, but he's got these big thighs, and it makes him hard to stop. So you never ever underestimate how much of a competitor he is. He's been fearless his whole career. He'll go in and he'll finish checks. He'll go in and get the puck first, knowing he's going to get hit. He'll go to the net. He plays absolutely fearless, and that's another huge, big positive for him. him, but his legs are big. And when I coach Ray Bourque, like Ray was, what, 6 feet? But Ray had these big, big legs, and you couldn't knock him off the puck. Tough to knock Sid off the puck because of the compete on him and all the skills. But those thighs of his, those big, big legs, and just a tremendous skater. He is low to the ground. He's hard to compete against.
And the competitor in him is well known. And I wonder if the talk about Cale and Connor and Nate and the passing the baton has lit a fire under him to say he's still one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world, in these situations. Do you think that factored into his performance?
He'd have to answer. I don't think so.
No,
I just think he's so proud to play for his country. He knows the type of player he is. He's going to play his game no matter what, no matter the circumstances. Maybe that gives him a little extra motivation. I don't know, but I don't really think so. I think because he takes such great pride in his ability to play at an elite level, no matter what the circumstances. Now, again, he's playing for his country here. We know his history and how well he's done representing Canada. I think that is his biggest motivation for me, just watching him play and knowing how much pride he takes in playing and representing Canada.
I know we won't have to ask this question before Thursday, now after they won, but between Saturday night and game time today, were you wondering if it was going to be Binnington or Aiden Hill?
No. No,
Is it just the puck moving? Was that the key thing?
You're three games into it. You're facing the elimination. The other two guys haven't played, right? All of a sudden, you're going to throw them into a game that it could be over if they don't play really well. He's had the experience of that incredibly emotional game in Montreal. Okay, the other two don't. They haven't been in the net in that circumstance. He did. Now, we don't like that first goal, obviously, in Montreal. But after that, he settled down and played really well. So am I surprised? No, I would expect him to go back to him just simply because of that. Because let's say he doesn't play and they lose today, all the second guesses in the world. Well, you shouldn't have put him in. Should have kept Binnington in, right? So you can't win with that. But I think the going back with Binnington didn't surprise me one bit. I think it was the right call simply because he's been there in these two big games against the Swedes in overtime and against the Americans. That Saturday night game was an emotional game as you'll ever play. And he's been there. He's been in game sevens in the Boston Gardens. So in TD Gardens, whatever it's called these days, TD Gardens. He's been there. So you got to rely on that experience, and again, the puck handling is part of it. But man, you still got to stop the puck. Yeah, you can handle the puck all you want. You still have to make some saves, and he made some timely saves for them today. So I wasn't surprised.
You weren't in the room, but can you walk us through the type of dialogue that takes place when you have a decision to make, or you could go one way or the other with a goaltender? What goes into that?
You get your staff together. And you get everyone's input, and you've got four great coaches there, and they all are great coaches in their own right. And you listen to them, and you weigh out all the options, and you take your time, and you take a good hard look at it, because it's a do or die game. You lose this, you're probably not going to be playing Thursday night. So that's what you do. And then somebody has to make the final call. Coop makes the final call. But I know he's got three outstanding coaches there with him that he has a tremendous amount of respect for and values their opinion. It's up to them. Whether maybe some of them didn't vote for Binnington. We'll never know that. But you've got to give those coaches the opportunity to speak and who they think should be in the net. And then ultimately the head coach makes the call.
We actually haven't done a show since Saturday. What did you think of the first 9 seconds Saturday night?
You know, I got a text to my son Ryan right after. He said that would have been an interesting discussion between Matthew and Brady. Who's going to fight first? Right? do they flip a coin to see who's going to fight first? But the first fight was a surprise. When I saw Bennett go on the ice, you just knew right away what was going to happen next. So Brady, there's no way Brady was letting that situation slip away, and that's why he ends up taking, give me that face off. I'm taking that face off. So I knew that one was coming. and I didn't see the first one coming. And then JT gets in there, and all of a sudden he wants to get involved as well, because I coached JT in Tampa, and he's a great teammate. He's a great competitive guy. So that kind of surprised. The first fight absolutely surprised me. The second one didn't. The third one did. But then you got to play hockey. So you put that behind you as quick as you can. You can play in the game, and it was a great game.
How does that influence what is going to happen on Thursday? We'll continue the conversation with Rick Bonus on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear, with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
There might have been a fight between Brady and Matthew to see who got the first fight. That's what I was thinking.
I think that was seniority, don't you? I actually think it was it was all Matthew's idea. So I think Matthew started it, if not Miller starting it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're tremendous competitors, all three of those guys. And okay, let's send a message right off the bat here. We're here to battle, which they did in 96. So I'm sure they were talking to Big Walt over the years about that 96 tournament and his impact on it. So yeah, but
did you like the approach? Like throwing the hammer down?
I didn't mind. Did I expect it? Absolutely not. Was I surprised by it? 100%. Do I understand it? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Right? They're sending a message. They were, it's in Canada. It's in Montreal. It's Canada, and they knew the atmosphere. Okay, we're here to play, and we're going to send a message right off the bat that we're here to play, and we're not going to take a step backward on you guys because you're in Montreal, because you're in your home country. So that kind of led into that, but I was still taken back by it. But there are three fights in 9 seconds. Yeah, that may never happen again.
were you sitting with Judy when you were watching, and were you on the edge of your seat? What was going on?
That's what I said to her. Look at this. This is unreal. I was sitting with Judy, and she's shocked as well.
How do you think it plays out then on Thursday off the bat? We're not going to see that again, but
no. No, you're not going to see that again. I think you're going to see both teams try to establish an early forecheck to get some momentum, get the legs going, get the physicality. I think it's going to be very physical, and it's only physical when you get the puck in the deep and you get in on the forecheck and start banging some bodies around and start jamming the net on shots. I think it's going to be very physical early. I don't anticipate the fighting, but I certainly expect that physicality to continue.
Okay, so I'm not suggesting I disagree with you, but why not? Why not do it again if you're the American?
The messages were sent. So they sent that message, and I don't know who has home ice. So the starting lineups decided. Do the Americans automatically have home ice?
I think because they finished first. Yeah, they finished first.
All right. Well, then, I wasn't surprised that Sully started that Eichel line, because when he put those guys together halfway through their first game against, they took the game over. They did. So when he put Brady up there, took Kyle Connor off, and that line took over the game. So I wasn't surprised at all that they started the game. That was the right call by Sully. Get those guys on the ice as quick as you can. Let them dominate. So that's kind of the thing I think they're going to try to do again. Let that line go. Let those two guys get in and be banging bodies around. I just don't see it. What's the point? Canada knows they're going to fight back, and Canada knows it's going to be physical. I don't think the fighting's going to prove anything on Thursday night, but I do believe in that physicality, and I do believe you're going to see a lot of that Eichel line early because of those two guys.
I thought Canada had trouble getting the forecheck going against the Americans. How do you adjust that and be more effective in that area?
Yeah, you have to have that mentality. We're going north. We're going to play a 200-foot game, which they seem to do a better job of today. And you don't want to – you have to, because – The Americans had really good gaps. I mean, they had good back pressure from the forwards. Their D were standing up. There wasn't a whole lot of room. So now you've got to put the puck in, but you got to put the puck in where you can get it back. If you saw the Finns say how many pucks Binnington's handled, that's just, that's on Finland for not putting the puck in the right spot. If you want to, you want to get your legs get going early and play that 200-foot game, you, everyone has to be on the same page. We gain that red line. If it's not odd man, it's going in. It's going either cross corner, it's going hard rim, or it's soft corner. That's something that can be brought up in a team meeting before that. Okay, now they have some video. They're going to watch how did the Americans break out. So now they're going to say, okay, they broke out a lot because we put it hard rims. Maybe tonight we're going to soft corner it and start the game with that. So we all know where it's going. And when you all know where it's going, you have a much better chance of getting that puck back. But you do have to keep it away from the goalie, and you do have to have that mentality of no odd man's, what's going in, and you have to know where it's going so there's no hesitation. And even if you get there and it's a tie, there's a battle. Now you need that second quick in there. Now, so if you all know where it's going, you're improving your chance of getting your second quick in there for support on the puck than the defending team.
This is, to me, Thursday night feels tailor-made for Brad Marchand.
Yep. Oh, he'll be a pain in the butt.
Where's he from?
In Boston. Yeah. Well, he's from outside Halifax. Yeah, he's not on Grand Lake. Now, Nate and Sid and Morgan Barron now, they're on me with me on Grand Lake. Brad's not in there. But good Halifax boy, good Nova Scotia boy. But yeah, oh, he'll be revved up. Don't be surprised he takes a few runs at poor old Charlie McAvoy, because Charlie gave McDavid a tough couple of big hits the other night. You know, Brad's probably going to try to even it up, even though he's his teammate. So just expect Brad to be an instigator in that game more than as much as the Chucks will be.
The one thing I'm looking at when you look at our roster, our being Canada, Americans are bigger, Rick. Americans are a bigger team. Is that, how much of a factor will that be?
I don't think so. Listen, how big is the heart? How big is the passion? Right? That's got to come out regardless of the size. Yeah, they are bigger. But again, we've got passion on our side. We've got heart on our side. And that, so I don't see that being a determining factor. But again, to me, it goes back and making sure, because there's going to be a lot of physical play, that you have that support. You get that second and third quick in there, get control of the puck. And then you just got to make some plays with it. They're going to have to put a lot more pucks early on the net and create some scrambles and get some jams in around the net to get to keep the emotions up. But I don't see that being a determining factor.
They do have to put more traffic in front of Hellebuck, don't they?
Oh, they have to. Absolutely. Bucky's on, man. He's 6'5", and he's one competitive guy. And you saw how many good saves he made. Pucks hit him. He makes really good reads, great anticipation where that puck's coming from and where it's going. And a lot of pucks are going to hit him. So you've got to make sure. So that's all, again, that's easier said than done. Sometimes the shooter has to wait a little bit if you have time to allow that net presence. Sometimes you don't have that time. There was a face-off play today, and the commentators here, but I don't get Hockey Night in Canada down here, there's got to be a net presence. Well, there was no time, just the way the play developed. So the shooter, if he has time to look, okay, there's nobody there. If he has time to hang on, wait till somebody gets there. But the game is so fast today. There's so much pressure up there. There's a lot of times the shooter doesn't have that time. His main job, when it comes back to the point, he's got to get it by that first guy. He's got to get pucks down to the net. That's his job. He can't let the first guy come and block the shot. If you want traffic, the puck's got to get to the net. But again, if you have time and you can wait that split second to let someone get in there, even their sticks, just get something in there to distract Hellebuck, then that's going to work in our advantage.
How important of a night is it for Hellebuck on Thursday, given what's happened in the past? And you know him so well.
Yeah, well, listen, he's played really two really good games. He knows what's at stake. I think you grow from losing, and you do. So after last year, the way we lost in the last couple of years, that resonated on the guys. And the whole team, you can see, is, okay, we're better than that when the pressure mounts. I think he's taken his game mentally to the next level. He won the Vezina last year. We won the Jennings last year. So there's no surprise there. But the consistency of him this year is very high. And again, he he understands what's at stake, and he understands he's got to prove that he can win these big games, and he's done it the last two games, and I expect a big game from him tomorrow night. And I also think this series is going to help him in the playoffs, because obviously they're going to make the playoffs. I think this series is going to help him overcome these past couple of tough times in the playoffs. I think he's going to be rock solid tomorrow night. I think he's going to make big saves Thursday night. I think he'll be rock solid, and I think that's going to help him in the playoffs.
I'm surprised Kyle Connor hasn't played more.
Well, he started on that Eichel line. Yeah. Okay. So he was on the top line with him and with the Eichel and Matthew. So Sully saw it wasn't something wasn't happening. If you remember the goal, Kyle gave himself up and he lost. He was the F3. Then he turned a couple over in the neutral zone and Sully put Brady up there. And all of a sudden the game turned around. So it wasn't maybe a little bit of Kyle, but Brady made a huge difference going up with Eichel. So Sully just kept that line going. And the other lines were written in stone. So he's going to have up to Kyle to take the role that's been given to him, that you ask all your players. You're not going to be the 20-minute guy tonight. But when your name is called, just be ready to go. He's a great kid. He's got a ton of skill. And you never know when he's going to show up. And it might be Thursday night.
I don't know whether there is a favorite. Canada lost to the United States, but played arguably their best defensive game of the tournament. Didn't give up much. The result will overshadow that. How do you evaluate the head-to-head matchup?
There's nothing separating those two teams. Again, you go back to that first goal that Binnington gave up. That's an unfortunate goal to give up. You need it. That's a shot from a bad angle that finds the back of the net. That should have been a 1-1 game, and either it goes into overtime or whatever. But so it was pretty even after that. That one bad goal made a difference. But again, it's going to be up to Canada to generate more. They're going to have to generate more, and it's going to get the forecheck going. They're going to have to do all the little details right and the right reads going through the neutral zone so they can play fast. They start going east to west in the neutral zone, they're going to play slower. That's not how they're built. They're built to play fast. They've got to go north. They've got to keep the puck going, and they've got to be on the same page in that mentality. But again, they look slow at times the other night when they started going east to west and cutting back into the middle. Again, the Americans are doing a great job of reloading and back checking and putting that back pressure on the pack here, taking away the middle of the ice. And it's going to be up to Canada to make those little adjustments.
Second half of the game Saturday night, Canada looked tired, Rick. They looked tired. Well,
yeah, they didn't have that jump, and I think a lot of it had to do with going through that neutral zone. They didn't have that speed, I know they've learned from that, and I know the coaches are going to address it, and I know they're going to play a lot faster on Thursday night. But they did look it tired. But sometimes when you're playing slow and you're going east to west, you do look slower than you should. And that's the first conclusion. Oh, well, maybe they're a little bit tired. Shouldn't have been tired. The adrenaline should have been pumped up. I think it had more to do with them playing too much east to west.
The other way, we've talked all, as you know, I do lots of stuff in Winnipeg, and we've talked that this would be a great stage to introduce Josh Morrissey to the hockey world outside of Portage and Maine. He struggled in the first game against Sweden, but the last two games, boy, he's been really good.
He's been really, I agree with you. And I was texting with him today, as a matter of fact. I think he's looked really solid. His gaps are good. He's up with the play when he should be. And when there's nothing going on, he gets out of there. So he's not getting caught up by ice. He's an elite skater. He has to join the rush to be a truly effective player offensively and help the forwards out. And I'm watching him, and he is up with the play, but he's not hanging around the net. Okay, get up with the rush, nothing happened, get back and play defense. And when you're doing that and you're getting some help from your forward, your gaps are really good. So he's been doing those things. And the other thing he's doing, he's defending well in the defensive zone. He's been really, really good. I'd love this. I know Makar didn't play the last game, but they had him out on the first unit, the power play. And there was one puck came to him and he didn't hesitate. He saw there was an opening at the net. There was a guy open by the net. He didn't hesitate to shoot it. So I love that. That tells me his confidence is there. He's not looking to make that extra play to a superstar player on the half wall or whatever. He's putting pucks in there. So, as I said to him today, you're playing your game. And that's huge. And he looks to me, you're right, he looks really good. And I know he's, as you know, we talked to him a couple of years ago. If you're not in the top 10 running, voting for the Norris Trophy, I'm disappointed in me and I'm disappointed in you. And he's taken that to a whole other level. I think he's been outstanding this year. And I think you're right. I think he was off a little bit because that's his first big pressure situation representing your country at that level. But I think he's handled the last couple of games really well.
He looks comfortable to me.
Yeah, he is. And that's when he's doing those things. Is he joining the rush at the right time? Yes. Yeah. Is he shooting the puck when he should? Yes. Is his gaps really good in the defending the rush? Yes. And is he defending well? Yes. So all those things make him an elite player. And he's, if you watch when he's getting it, he's just not throwing the puck away. He's got his eyes up. He's making the right play, whether it's to his partner or it's a quick up to a forward. He's just not getting it and throwing it up the boards. He's looking before he gets the puck and he's making plays with it, and that's the strength of his. He's an elite player.
Do you think it's possible, like Wednesday night, Josh Morrissey used to be in the first defenseman on the Winnipeg Jets? Well, that was Cale Makar's job on Wednesday night. He's the number one defenseman. Do you think it's possible that there's a level of intimidation, not of the other team, but some of the guys on your own team?
Well, that's what I was looking for. Is he passing the puck when he should shoot it? And he hasn't done that yet. I think he understands it. I think the whole world understands. Well, Makar's ahead of him. He is the best. You got to accept that. He is the best defenseman in the league right now. And Hughes in Vancouver. So, but no, that wouldn't bother Mo. But those are the things that I look for him. Is he throwing the puck away? Or is he trying to keep McDavid happy, McKinnon happy, Sid happy? Is he trying to make plays that he shouldn't normally make? So I haven't seen that in his game.
The Americans have the luxury of being able to offer a couple of adjustments in a game that's not going to mean anything in their final round-robin contest. For Canada, is that the lineup that you go with for the championship now, after looking at a couple of different combinations and people coming in and out of the lineup?
Yes. All the guys that played today did the job and the role that they were asked to play. They all did. And I'm not there, obviously. Nobody's heard. I hope no one has the flu or the bug or something. Those are the things you never know. So if there's changes made, sometimes it's not just because of making a change. It's because there's stuff that we don't know. My assumption is we're going to go right back with the same lineup. I could be wrong. But again, so when I look at that game today and the roles that those players were asked to play, Marner included, with Cirelli and Hagel, they all did the job that the coaching staff asked them to do, and they were successful because of it.
Okay, so enough about that. What the heck are you doing these days?
Well,
I mean, I see you on my TV every once in a while. I've seen you on TNT. I've seen you on Hockey Night.
Yeah.
Now you're a media star.
No, I'm not a media star. I'm going to do Hockey Night on the 7th. They want me to come up for the trade deadline. Here's what I'm doing, John. So remember in 2004-05, we had the year off, right? Yep. The complete lockout the whole year. So I said, what am I going to do all winter? I got to have a goal. So I trained for a half marathon, and I ran a half marathon at the end of when I finally went back to Nova Scotia, the Blue Nose Marathon in Halifax. So I ran in that. So on my 69th birthday, I just kind of was talking to the kids, and I said, maybe when I turn 70, I'll run in another half marathon. Well, I forgot completely about it. I turned 70 a couple of weeks ago. My daughter has me running in a half marathon next weekend in Orlando in Disney World, right? So I've been training for that. I just did 9.5 miles last night. I'm dying today. But so now I've got to run in this half marathon again because I opened my big mouth when I turned 69. But I completely forgot I even said that. She reminded me with an invitation to run with her next weekend.
How hard was the first one?
Well, I had all year, and I was 50 years old at that point, so it was a lot easier than this one. This one's tough. My hips aren't as good as they used to be. No, I think I did that one. But again, I had all year to train for that. I think I did it in like 2 hours and 40 minutes or something. We won't even come close to that next weekend.
And how are you liking the television?
Fine. you know, you've given me some advice. Be a coach. I took that advice to heart. I'm not a TV guy. I'm a coach.
You're a coach. That's right.
Yeah. I'm a coach, so exactly. So it's been fun. You know, Kevin BX is like my third son, for crying out loud. I've known Ron forever, and I've known Kelly forever. So it's a very comfortable setting up there. The TNT, I've done it a couple of times, and they're fun to work with, right, Biz and these guys. So I've got four dates settled with TNT in March and the first week of April, but I will be in Canada for the trade deadline on the 7th of March.
Fantastic.
Who's got the better food?
That's all good.
Yeah, okay. Because that's always the important stuff.
Yes, it is.
Forget about the broadcast. It's craft services. That's the key.
Were you nervous about talking about plays that may negatively or be perceived as being negative?
No. I just, no. You know, in the Canadian market, in the Winnipeg market when I was there, look, they're knowledgeable hockey people, and they are. They know the game. So I'm not going to – you can't sugarcoat things. You got to explain it to what – this is what happened. And you're not trying to pinpoint players or go after players. They want to know what happened. Okay, well, this is what happened. So if there's a goal – the game is a game of mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. There's never been a perfect hockey game played. If the goalie didn't make a save, then didn't have to make a save, then there's your perfect game. Goalies are always called on to make saves. Mistakes happen. People want to know what happened. It's my I don't mind telling them this is what happened. And again, I as a coach, you do a lot of video with your players and you tell them that we're all here to get better and we're going to learn from our mistakes, and that's the job of a coach. So when I'm on there, I don't mind. I'm just going to tell them what I see, and that's just me, right? Some people don't like it, but what are you going to do?
Well, I think most people like it. So
Canada wins if they do this, the Americans will win because they do that. Give me one reason.
Canadians will win if they get that forecheck going and they're putting a lot of pucks on Hellebuck. The Americans will win if Hellebuck makes those big timely saves and they can go the other way, because they do have they've got a lot of offensive players up front in the Americans, and they can score off the rush. They're dangerous on the forecheck. But Canada will win if they can just play that north game and just keep going and keep the pressure on them and not let the Americans break out, not let the Americans get their game going, both on the rush and on the forecheck. But Hellebuck will be a big factor in the deciding of that game, outcome of that game, as will Binnington if he plays.
In a north-south game, Americans faster?
Yeah, they're fast and they've got skill. You watch Eichel play. This guy's, you know, you watch him play. It's unreal how good and calm he is with the puck. He just comes up the ice and he's a lot faster than people realize, but he's so calm and he's so good at going to open ice and making plays. So they've got to take that out of his hands. We don't want to see him making a lot of plays on the rush, because he's dangerous to make plays and he's dangerous to score. We've got to take the rush game away from them.
I know Shelton Beach PEI isn't Nova Scotia, but I'm happy to call you my neighbor during the summer.
Oh,
and
no,
I look forward to seeing you. I'm trying to lump myself in here any chance I get.
No,
John.
Good for you. I love it.
I call myself a Nova Scotian for 2 weeks every year. So it's
all. Yeah, you are over there.
Yeah.
I love it there. We have a great time.
Yeah, exactly.
Bones, appreciate it and look forward to taking some of your thoughts and factoring them into how I watch the game on Thursday.
All right. It's a pleasure. Always fun talking to you guys. Take care of yourselves. Talk soon.
Good luck in the run.
I need it. Trust me.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear, with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
The Americans.
By the way, before you get started,
why don't you start before I get started? You no, wait like for it, me to I get like, started, yeah, and then you interrupt me.
Can you tell how excited Rick was about the game? I mean, yes. he was as wired as we were.
Well, we recorded
that's
this.
Cool. That's cool to see a guy who's been 50 years in the business to be that excited and that ingrained in the game. That to me, that's cool.
I think Rick will listen to the podcast while he trains for the half marathon.
No, because we want him to run, not fall asleep.
No, that was like a coach's clinic.
It was good.
A lot of what we walked through there.
Yeah.
The Americans have always had the chip on their shoulder trying to measure up to Canada.
Yeah.
Is it flipped going into Thursday because of the result in the round robin?
So I had an American friend, really good American friend, guy who loves the game. I got a text from him the moment the game ended Saturday night. So what's the fallout going to be of this horrendous loss? And I said, hey, pal, just wait.
You called him pal?
I did. Hey, pal. Just wait, because
pal's kind of an insult.
No, it's not.
It can be. Hey, pal.
Just wait. Let's see if Canada can get through Finland. And then, you know what? We'll see what Thursday night brings. Canada, the history of Canadians in international competition is we stare adversity in the face almost every time. We love, you know, we're the big dog, and yet we love coming from behind. Mm-hmm. And it happens all the time. The only time it really never it didn't happen was in Sochi in 2014. But every other time, you know, we're fighting and scrapping to get to where we need to be.
Yeah, Salt Lake, Vancouver.
Salt Lake, Vancouver. They're in 72, you know, it's almost in the DNA, like to get your, and it's the old cliche, to have your back against the wall and then we'll make a difference. They had their back against the wall Monday afternoon and they won, giving themselves another chance. And last I checked, when they dropped the puck, it'll be 0-0 on Thursday night. So,
do you think there's a favorite?
Oh, yeah. I think the Americans have to be favored. For some of the reasons that we talked about with Rick, I think the Americans are faster. You know, how does Canada manage their transition game? Connor Hellebuck. I mean, you and I have talked off air.
But about Canada didn't give the Americans anything on Saturday. Like, they played a great defensive game.
And still allowed two goals. You know, where
but
was
Rick's
Canada's,
point about the
where was
the
Canada's
first goal?
Offense? Where was Canada's offense Saturday? You know it's funny.
I thought they tested Hellebuck a couple of times. I thought they tested Hellebuck more than Binnington was challenged.
Well, I say I disagree. Because I kept wanting to see more bodies in front of Connor Hellebuck. Go to that area of the ice. And we just didn't see it. Trying to play on the periphery, making that third extra pass, you know, sometimes we were like those chipmunks in the cartoons. No, after you, sir. No, after you, sir. You know, come on, shoot the puck. Get in the front, get to the dirty areas. Mark Stone's got to get to the dirty areas. Sam Bennett's got to get to the dirty areas. Travis Konechny's got to get to the dirty areas.
And I thought they were much better at that in against Finland.
They were much better. And then all of a sudden it opens it up for the speed.
What chipmunks are you hanging out with?
Well, don't you remember the kids with chipmunks? Oh, no, after you, sir. No, after you, sir.
No.
No.
Is this Alvin and Theodore and Simon?
Oh, not Alvin and Theodore. That's another one. So it's just from my childhood, not yours.
Those are cartoons? Or they were like real chipmunks?
Yeah. Them were my two pets. I had it in a cage.
Chippendale?
You're bugging me now.
I'm sorry. I didn't get the reference. I was trying to pull it out of you.
As soon as I started to say it, I knew I was in trouble, so it's okay.
No, I wasn't trying to be a jerk there. Other times, yeah, but not that time. I didn't get that reference.
We got to go.
All right. I can't wait for Thursday night. It's going to be so much fun.
We got shows to do before then.
I know.
And a bonus show tomorrow, baby. Bonus show.
Who's on it?
Brad Treliving.
The Toronto Maple Leaf general manager.
Yes, sir. Bonus show. Be out late in the afternoon.
Okay, look for it. And get ready for Canada, the United States, as we bring you a bonus show from 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.